Romans chapter number 16 and verse number 3. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Now watch the first sentence in verse number 5. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. And we want to talk a little bit this morning. I don't know if I'm going to preach or reminisce or chat, but we're going to look back a little bit and talk about our heritage here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray, God, that in the course of the message, Lord, as we attempt to do what you want today and preach what you would have us preach, Lord, that there would be a stirring in the hearts of your people. And Lord, I'm afraid that even I catch myself being affected by the direction that it seems like society wants to take the church, lead the church. And I pray, Lord, that we just take this Sunday and hit some reset buttons and realize that there's a right way and there's a wrong way to have church. There's a right way and there's a wrong way as far as how we should conduct ourselves at church. And there's a right mission for the church and a wrong mission for the church. And I pray, Lord, that you'd stir our hearts a little bit as we look back. And then, Lord, after we've spent some time looking back, that then we could focus on looking forward and continuing down the old path. Lord, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And you may be seated. I'll give you a little biblical history lesson to start us out with. If you notice, we just read in Romans chapter number 16 and verse number 5, likewise greet the church that is in their house, that is in their house. And 1 Corinthians 16:19, I won't have you turn there, I'll just read it. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. Colossians 4:15, salute the brethren which are in Laodicea and Nymphos and the church that is in his house. Philemon, the first two verses, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timotheus, our brother, and unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. Now, Paul's in the first century of Christianity here. He's in the birthplace of the church. And when he writes to the church, he often greets the church that is in or meeting in somebody's house. People back in these early days of Christianity opened their homes and allowed the assembling to take place in their house. If you went to a town back in the first century, if you went to a town and you wanted to ask where the church was, you wouldn't say, hey, where's a church building? Or where you'd say, you would say something like this, where do the people of the way meet? Where do the people of the way meet? That's what they were known at. In Antioch, they were first called Christians. By the way, they were called that in a derogatory manner. And that which the world wanted to use as a handle or a title of accusation, these people think they're a bunch of little Jesuses. They think they're a bunch of little Jesuses. And the church took that title on and wore it and carried it like a banner. Yes, that's exactly what we're trying to do, is be like our Savior. That which you have said to make fun of us, we'll take that title and wear it. And to this day, folks, we're known as Christians or Christ-like or little Jesuses. You would go to a town and you'd say, where are the disciples of Christ or the followers of Jesus Christ? Where do they meet? In the first century, in the second century, in the third century, you would have been directed not to a public building, but to somebody's home. A little Bible study, but a little Bible lesson. When I was studying church history, what I was taught was it wasn't until the fourth century that a church for the first time owned property and had its own building. Now, I'm not here to preach against us having a church building. I'm glad we have these nice facilities to meet in. I'm not against that at all. I do think that it's important that we understand as Christians that part of our heritage of believe as a born-again believer was this. It was this understanding that the church was not a piece of property or the church was not a building. The church was wherever God's people assembled. Sometimes it was out in the field, but you know what? When they assembled, that's what the word church means. It means an assembly. When God's people assembled, then they had church, you know. That's where the church was when they assembled. If it was in somebody's backyard where the assembly was, that's where the church was. If it was in somebody's living room, then that's where the assembly was. That's what the church was. Now, folks, I'm thankful that I get to pull in, and I'm here 7 days a week pulling that driveway and look and see what God has blessed us with. It's exciting to clear property and make plans for the future. But let me tell you something. If somebody stopped in here on a Monday morning and said, "Brother Jerry, I come by to see your church," the honest truth is, what we would be tempted to do is say, "Let me give you a tour and show them a building or rooms." But if I was really going to show people the church, then I'd have to get them in my car and say, "All right, let me go have you meet the people that assemble here," because that is who the church truly is, folks. It's the assembly of believers. Way back in 1973, a group of people began to assemble in a person's house. In a person's home. Now over in Midland, Indiana, Pastor Ross and a handful of other people begin to assemble in somebody's living room. And the whispers went about, what are these people doing? What are these bunch of oddballs doing? What are they doing? They're meeting in a home. What they are showing, showed by saying those type of things is their own ignorance. That is the very birthplace of the church. That is how the church started. That is our heritage. Folks, it's not a building. It's not a piece of property. It's an assembly of assembled group of born-again believers. When they come together, then a church is in session. When the assembly comes together, then we have church. And Blessed Hope Baptist Church was started these many years ago, over 30 years ago, in the living room of a couple's house. Then after that, we met in the house there. And then after that, in a very short time, they ran out of space in the living room. We're using bedrooms and utility rooms and everything else for Sunday school space. And then they began to build a two-and-a-half-car garage off the back of the building, and they met in the garage there. And I just thought it'd be fun to see this. How many of you that are here this morning at some time, at one time or another, attended a church while we were either meeting in the house or the garage? Would you stand? Listen, let me have you stand. See, now you know I'm not lying now, because these are some of these crazy, fanatical people that, isn't that neat? Isn't that neat, folks, that when I'm talking about this, you can remember this, you can be seated. That we met in a house, then we met in a garage. In a garage, you know, and let's see, trying to think, we had weddings in that garage. Didn't we have weddings in that garage? And it'd be interesting, you know, the couples later on go by and say, "Let me show you where Mom and Dad got married." And they go to Bob Swaby's house and open the garage, and there's junk everywhere. And several, "This is where we got married, amen." Hey, you know what, folks? It's not the building. It was the church. It was where we assembled together, you know, and some good things happened there. Some things, special things happened there. Some very old-fashioned things happened there. Amen. That I want to continue to happen in this building. All right, we're not in somebody's living room, but let's still have church. All right, we're not in a garage anymore, but let's still have church. See, folks, if we're not careful, most churches, they get to a point and they cease being a church and they turn into some kind of museum or something. We just gather and kind of stare at each other and look at each other, and we go through rituals, but we stop having church. And what I want to encourage us this morning is, folks, let's not forget our Christian heritage, not just the heritage of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, but the heritage that goes all the way back to the first century when Jesus said, "Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." I'm talking about old-fashioned missionaries like the Apostle Paul that took off across countries and went into towns and cities and said, "Let's start a church. Let's win people to Christ, and then let's have these people assemble together." And what we need in America are some old-time, old-fashioned churches. Churches, not entertainment centers, churches. Not social centers, churches. Some old-fashioned churches. If they meet in the street, then praise God, as long as they're doing what a church ought to do, then they're a church. If they're meeting in somebody's yard, if they're meeting in somebody's house, if they're meeting in a garage, or if we've been blessed as we have to have a building, let's just not stop having church. Let's not stop having church, you know. There's a lot of assembled groups this morning, folks, all over this community, all over America. There's a lot of people that are assembled together, but not all of them are having church. Not all of them are having church, you see. Now, what are some things that we can't afford to leave behind, folks? What are some things, as you look back, Brother Jerry, when you remember the early days of Blessed Hope, and yes, even, I'm glad to say and report, even in recent history, I'm talking about even in the last few weeks, what's the difference between going to a place and having church and going to a place and just having a meeting? There's some old time, old-fashioned things that ought to happen in the Church of Jesus Christ when God's people are assembled. Let me give you one of them. You know what? Old-fashioned salvation ought to be a part of the assembly of the believers. Old time, old-fashioned salvation. You know what? First and foremost, Dad, we're called to preach the gospel. First and foremost, we're called to preach the gospel. Now, if we're going to preach all of the oracles of God, then we're going to do a lot of preaching to Christians, and we're going to do a lot of training of Christians. And if we're going to completely fulfill the Great Commission, then we have to teach and train and disciple. But you know what? When I surrender to preach, I surrender to preach the gospel. And what God's challenged you to do as Christians is go out and preach the gospel. You know what? Part of a normal thing that ought to happen in church on a real regular basis is somebody ought to get saved. Amen. I hope that that happens this morning. If there's somebody here that you're sitting there and you say, Brother Jerry, you know, I'm not sure what you're talking about, being born again, being saved. I hear these terms. I mean, folks seem so happy and people talk and act like they know that they're going to heaven. And listen, it's not because we're anything special. It's because we put our faith and trust in a very special Savior. You see, there's the gospel, the good news. Jesus died for our sins, according to the gospel, was buried and rose again. And I'm glad to report that the Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Whosoever. That means anybody can get saved at any time. If you realize that you're a sinner and you begin to feel conviction on that. And by the way, we're all sinners. We're all sinners. We've all fallen way short of the glory of God. If you begin to examine your life and let the Holy Spirit deal with your heart, you're not going to think very long before you realize that there's many things that you've done that's displeased the Lord. There's many times that you've broken the commandments of God. There's many ways that you've disappointed the Lord. I mean, all of us have to come to that conclusion. We're guilty. We're lost before God. But hallelujah, God sent his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins. And Jesus was the Son of God. He was God the Son. And you know what he did? He lived a perfect life, and they put him on Calvary's cross and they crucified him. The Bible says that he could have called the angels of heaven to rescue him, but he didn't come down here to get rescued. He came down here to die. He came down here to shed his blood. And he did that because he wants to save you. And you know what? Salvation's available this morning. That ought to be something that happens in the church. Old time salvations ought to be real genuine conversions. I mean, folks, it happened in the living room of the house. People got saved. It happened in that garage over there. People got saved. And when we first built this building here, people were getting saved. And we added on this part and people kept getting saved. People keep getting saved. And you know what? We don't ever want to stop, because that's the main reason that we're here. You know, I don't understand this. I have people tell me, you know, it's been years since we've seen people anybody in our church saved. I had one lady tell me that she recently tell me that they'd taken the baptistry and filled it in with dirt and created some kind of planted plants in it and turned it into some kind of a decorative thing. And I think to myself, good night. What do they think church is? I mean, church is for folks to get saved. Church is for folks to follow the Lord and believers' baptism. We got a young man this morning that's going to be baptized. You know why? Because that's what the church is supposed to be busy doing. We're supposed to be meeting in Sunday school training and teaching and discipling people once they get saved. Hey, you're supposed to grow in the Lord after you get saved. You're supposed to go forward for the Lord once you get saved. I like it when we see some old-time, old-fashioned salvations. Somebody comes to the realization that they're lost, and they come to Jesus and want to be saved. I think that's good. What I remember about the living room and the garage, and that I still enjoy right here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, is old time singing. You know, there's just something about coming to a church where they still sing church songs. That's a blessing. You say, well, that's everywhere. No, no, it's not. You just don't get around very much. Let me read you some verses here. And in Ephesians 5:18, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. One of the evidences of the Holy Spirit working in a congregation is that you'll hear the hymns and the spiritual songs and the psalms sung on a regular basis in church. Give me the old time religion. Give me the old time hymns. Give me the old time religion. Give me the old time spiritual songs. I like the old gospel songs that minister to the Spirit. Say, Brother Jerry, how has that changed? I'll tell you how it's changed. We've let the devil's music come into the church. We've let the devil's style come into the church. We don't sing spiritual songs, we sing fleshly songs. I mean, you go in the average church and it looks like they're ready to put on a rock concert up here. And you got that old guttural, satanic, fleshly beat going in the back of boom, boom, boom. And all that does was appeal to the flesh. Gets the flesh stirred up. Gets the flesh excited. God says you're supposed to sing hymns, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Listen, I like singing about heaven. Listen, it's not my flesh getting excited. It's my spirit getting excited. It's that reborn part of me that's longing to go home. I like singing about Jesus. And I hear, and I'm talking about the kind of music that ministers to your spirit, not your flesh. Stirs your spirit up, not your flesh up. Makes you glad that you've been born again, that you've been saved. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. We've got a problem going on in our churches. We've let the devil get in. We've let the devil bring his instruments in. We've let the devil bring his music in. Now, you know what? The old time hymns was just fine down there in the garage. Was fine right there in the living room. And you know what? They're fine right here today. The old-fashioned gospel-proven gospel songs, spiritual songs, they were just fine back then. They'll just be just fine right here in this church. We're not going to follow the worldly ways. Brother Jerry, you preach a lot about this. I'm going to tell you, most churches begin to lose it when they lose it in the music. They really do. And we've just got to make sure we keep things right, keep things straight, folks. And listen to me. Don't worry about how contemporary it sounds. Oh, I like this song here because it sounds, you know why you like it? Because it sounds like the music you listen to the radio all week long. That's why you like it. If you stop listening to the devil's music, you would lose the appetite for it in church. Amen, Brother Jerry. If you're going to listen to the rock and roll beat or the country western beat all week long, then you know what? You're going to want to come to church and hear the same thing. No siree. Let's hear hymns and songs, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Listen, I'm not interested in taking the devil's music and supposedly putting God's words to it. Let's just stay with the old-fashioned singing, the old-fashioned ways, folks. What do you remember about the old-time religion, Brother Jerry, as you were raised up? I remember old-time sacrifice. Old-time sacrifice. Well, that's a word you just don't hear much anymore. Old-time sacrifice. What happened, Brother Jerry? How in the world? You say a bunch of people, just a little group of people. You've seen some of them stand up here today, met in a garage and met in a house. How did that little group of people pull off building something like this? I'll tell you how they did it. Old-fashioned sacrifice. They didn't sit around praying that God would send them a millionaire. They just said, what have we got? What's in our hand? What can we give? What can we do? You see, people gave. People sacrificed. You know why? Because they had a dream. They wanted to see something happen. They wanted to see something bigger than themselves happen. They wanted something to be done in front of the community where everybody would say, God's in that. God's doing something there. People can't figure out this. I mean, it's crazy. Everybody's leaving the old-time ways, going to this new modern way because they see a few churches doing it and it seems to be working. And they just can't figure out. I run them into the community all the time. They scratch their heads and cannot figure out why we have to double our parking lot. And we are able to do it without a rock and roll band. Oh, my goodness sakes. How do we do it? I mean, they bring in all this modern junk. And all this modern music, and they're going to reach the teenagers, and we've got more teenagers hiding out in the bathrooms right now here than they do in their church, you know. I mean, good night. Let me tell you something, folks. We've been fooled. We've been fooled into thinking that the old-time religion don't work in 2005. You know what? It works just fine. It works just fine. It's working in Jasonville, Indiana. It's working just fine right here. So let's just stick to the old paths. Old time sacrifice. Now, folks, God's people, if we're going to see the work of God go on, and I've never been shy preaching this because I don't do it at you, I do it for you. The fastest way to get the blessing of God on your life is to be generous with God and to be obedient to God in this giving of tithes and offerings. I really mean that. I really mean it. I'm telling you what, the most sensible, sane thing that you can do as a man is to make sure that you tithe. Amen. If you want the blessings of God on your finances, blessings of God on your family, then you'll tithe and give offerings. And then we're talking about that, but that's the basics. I mean, that's just the foundation. That's not sacrifice. Oh, Brother Jerry, it is for me. I don't think so. I don't think it's a sacrifice to give back to God what's already His. Amen. The tithe is the Lord's. We really don't start giving till we get into our offerings. We don't start getting into sacrificial giving till it starts affecting our lifestyle. And I'm afraid that's where we're losing it in Christianity today. We don't drive by the church and say, look, I gave and that's there. We go to our house and look at all our toys and say, look, I bought and there's my treasures right there. That's what it's all about. And we're so worried about piling stuff up. And folks, it's all going to burn up in a fire. You're going to die one of these days. You know what they're going to hold probably at your house? I think one of the saddest things in the world to go to, I don't go to many of them, to be honest with you. Go to an auction. Go to an auction of somebody's personal estate. I mean, just go there. And I remember somebody was telling me the other day, I can't remember who it was, so maybe it was David, but he said that there was a man, and he'd lost his wife, and he was sitting under a chair, 80-some years old, sitting in a chair, and he's watching everything that they spent a whole lifetime collecting, being auctioned off by a bunch of people that just carried it up, threw it in the trunk of the back of their car and drove off, and everything they spent a whole lifetime collecting was gone in a few hours. Say, I'm not going to have an auction. Well, you know, you'll die and your kids will fight over it. Grandkids will fight over it. They'll divvy it up and divide it up, and next thing you know, it'll be gone. You know what? You're not going to take a bit of it with you. You know, the pharaohs of Egypt, why'd they build those big pyramids? They wanted plenty of rooms. That way when they died, they could put all their stuff in there. And you know what happened to every single one of them? Somebody broke in and robbed them. Stole everything they had. You know what? They didn't take anything but their soul. They didn't take anything but their soul. Are you listening to me? Old time sacrifice. I'd just soon lay up treasures in heaven. I just soon take what what God's given me and put it towards seeing something eternal done. Old time say, hey, if Blessed Old Baptist Church is going to go forward, it's going to have to go forward because people believe in old time sacrifice. Old time sacrifice. I like the memories that I have of old time soul winning. You know, I think that there's something that if we're not careful, we're gonna lose. I call it a pioneer spirit. A pioneer spirit. Paul had a pioneer spirit. He'd go to a town and the Bible would talk about how his heart was stirred within him. And he'd sit there and go to a town and he'd see all the paganism and all the idol worship. And the Bible says pretty soon Paul couldn't stand it anymore. And he'd be out on the street preaching, going to the synagogue preaching. Everywhere he went where there wasn't a church, he thought there ought to be a church. Every time he saw some lost people, a group of lost people that wasn't being reached, he thought, I've got to figure out a way to reach them. And folks, I think in the Church of Jesus Christ, we're at a time in art in Blessed Hope Baptist Church's history, if we're not careful, we'll lose the pioneer spirit. Well, Brother Jerry, you keep talking about it. And by the way, we're going to start, I haven't said anything about this yet. I'm just going to tell you right now. In the next 3 months, November, December, January, 3 months, we're going to start 3 new ministries. We're not going to sit on our laurels. Okay, I didn't accept the pastor to Blessed Hope Baptist Church so I could spend the rest of my life walking guard and defending what we already have done. I'm going to do that, but also I'm going to go forward and build on the foundation that was here. And folks, we've got to do that. I need your help. We've got to do that. Well, Brother Jerry, come on. Look, we're doing all right. That's where you get into problems. We're doing enough. That's where we lose the pioneer spirit. We get satisfied. Hey, there's people in this community not being reached. There's groups that we're missing. There's things we can do. And I'm really praying. I'm praying as we start these ministries. Listen, I'm not looking for something else to give somebody who's already busy. I'm looking for some things to start that some of you'll get on board that aren't busy. I mean that. Get a pioneer spirit. Say, you know what? There's some things that need to be done. There's some people that need to be reached. And we can reach them and should reach them here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Don't lose the pioneer spirit. Let me read this story. I don't know this man, but I read this story about him, William C. Burns. Here was a man that was a great help, kind of the second man to Hudson Taylor, and also was a blessing to Murray McSheen. And he tells the story of when he was a 17-year-old boy. He was a country boy, lived out in the country in the rural area, never been to a large city before, but he was a Christian boy, went to a good church, just a rural. And you know, there was a day, folks, when you lived in the country, you just didn't visit town very often. I mean, you know, you live far enough out in the country, we run to town all the time now. We run to town 3 times a day now. I mean, it may have been once a month you went to the city, or once maybe every 6 months you went to a large city. This boy was 17 years old and he'd never been to a large city. He visited the city of Glasgow with his mother for the first time in his life. Let me read the story. The mother suddenly lost her boy in the crowd, and after many anxious moments discovered him in an alley with his head buried in his hands, sobbing with a broken heart. "What ails you, lad?" asked the Scottish mother. "Oh, mother, mother," said the country boy, "the thud of these Christless feet on the way to hell breaks my heart. The thud of these Christless feet on the way to hell breaks my heart." One can understand how he grew up to be the mighty revivalist of Scotland and China. Did you hear that? The thud of these Christless feet breaks my heart. Can you hear that? See, that's part of what drives the pioneer spirit. You drive by a public school, watch them get out, and sit there and cluck your tongue and shake your head and are bothered by the noise in the crowd, or do you look at those young people and your heart break because you know most of them are on their way to hell? You swing by a nursing home, do you think about how many people saved in there and how many's not? Drive down Main Street, or you attend one of these festivals like many of you have, did you hear the thud of Christless feet, or were you so busy looking for the next bargain you forgot about the masses that are around you that's going to hell? Are you listening to me? Well, we need this to touch us. We don't need this just to be another message. This is old time religion. World's going to hell, we got to do something about it, Brother Jerry. The world's going to hell, we got to do something about it. We got to do something about it. I'm glad we support the missionaries we do. We need to support more. I'm glad we have the ministries we do, and we're going to maintain and work them hard, but you know what? We need more. We need more. It's not quitting time, it's starting time. Amen. It's not resting time, it's working time. Hey, it's still daylight. The night's coming when no man can work. Amen. I think I ought to do everything I can while I can, because I don't think we're going to have much longer, folks, before Jesus comes back and just interrupts everything. I like old-time revivals. We had some old-time revivals. We did. I'm praying that God gives us an old-time revival. You mean over there in the garage? Yep. You mean in the early days of the church, old-time revivals? Oh, yes. Yes. Had some old-time revivals. What's revival, Brother Jerry? You mean you see a lot of people saved? Well, you know what? That's good. But that's evangelistic. That's not revival. Revival's for the church. Revival stirs something in Christians. Revival gives you a desire to want to be better than you've ever been for God. Revival sends you an altar and causes you to repent over sin that you've been hiding up to that point. Playing around. I remember ladies standing up in front of the church service. I mean a revival service. I'm talking about a revival service at the altar, standing up in front of the entire church, apologizing and confessing the sin of gossiping about other people in the church and making it right. Now people take pride in it. It's a wicked sin. We need revival at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Amen. We need to stop this tearing each other up and start lifting each other up. Start pulling for each other. Start joining arms and getting busy. And working the work of Jesus Christ. We need to stop. Rejoice is not in iniquity, but rejoice is in the truth. We've just read that. More people are more excited about bad news than they are good news. Something bad happens, they can't wait to tell every member they can tell. Something good happens, and they ho-hum and look at their watch and wonder when they get to get out of here so they can get to the restaurant. It's wicked. You know what? You know what'll fix that? Revival. True Holy Ghost revival. I remember, and by the way, this made an impression. Teenage boy, young junior high boy, watching a lady come forward weeping, getting up and saying, "I just got to confess something. I've been watching those wicked daytime soap operas, and God's convicted my heart, and I just want to confess that. I promise God I'll never watch another one of them." When do you see that? When do you see that, Brother Tom? Man, you preach against soap operas, half the people are mad at you. Honestly. Brother Jerry, why do you keep poking Oprah in the eye? Because I see some of you swell up every time I do it, so I'm just going to keep doing it. Watching a bunch of godless stuff on TV and excusing yourself for it. Good night. What's wrong? Listening to a bunch of godless music and sitting there defending it. Teenagers going to our Christian school. By the way, if I knew who you were, I'd kick you out. But don't tell me there's not one or two sneaking around right now, listening to stuff in their cars they shouldn't listen to. You know what? Revival will fix that. I thank God Brother Kelly would show up, and man, Machine Gun Kelly, and he'd stand up there with an Uzi in both arms and just blast holes in us, man. Brother, you either got right with God or you got shot up, one of the two. I mean, you were, you know, get on your knees. Why? Because you were ducking, that's why, you know. Just preaching, just getting us right with God, stirring our hearts, giving us a greater vision to do more than we've ever done before. Brother Hightower's not going to show up with revival in his briefcase. We're going to have to be ready for it in our hearts, for God to do something in our hearts, folks. I'm just telling you, there's more to do. Old time soul winner and old time preaching and old time revivals and old time amens. Old time singing, old time standards. Just learning that you ought to live holy. Well, why is that such a controversial thing? What is wrong with us? We've got the point, though. You know, when we get to Madison Church, when somebody talks about our worldly living, our worldly dressing, our worldly ways, and we're going to get all puffed up about it. God said, be ye holy, for I am holy. Man, we need to stop getting, we're so stinking used to sin. Nothing shocks us anymore. Nothing bothers us anymore. I mean this, folks. You know, it's time to stop sitting there with a smirk on your face, start getting to an altar. I mean, it really is. If we're gonna see something supernatural happen, somebody at some point in time got to let God break through. We got our bushel baskets of excuses why everything that we're doing that we know is godless, we're just going to keep doing it. I don't care what the preacher said. I don't care what the Bible said. I'm just going to live the way I'm going to live. And you know what? This church will die with that attitude. It will die. It'll become another dead, dormant church. Another shame to this community if we don't let God stir our hearts. Revival time's coming. We might as well start it this morning. Amen. Amen. Old time shouting, old time standards. Man, getting right with God. God just doesn't want to change your heart and change your destination. He wants to change your life. You see, I mean, I'm talking about young ladies. Before they got saved, they dressed immodestly. The Old Testament talks about their long necks. You know what that's talking about? Their low necklines. Showing things they shouldn't show. Go to the average church nowadays, you got to spend a lot of time looking at the ceiling. Look this way, look this way, look this way, look this way, finally. Forget going to the store. I mean, honestly, I don't even like going to town. If I don't have to go to town, I don't want to go to town. Brother Jerry, what do you think about this cold weather coming in? Amen! Good night. Freeze them out. They'll either freeze out or cover up. One of the two. They got to do something. Good night. Showing up church. And by the way, if you're a new Christian, you don't know any better, I'm not picking on you. I mean that. Good night. If you just got saved, you haven't been saved that long, and you're learning, I'm not against you. I'm the best friend you have by helping you right here this morning. But you know, ladies, there's a way to dress. The Bible says that women should adorn themselves in modest apparel. Amen. Modest apparel. You ought to dress right. Gentlemen, you ought to dress right. By the way, the first word in that verse is likewise. He just got done talking about the men. He says, likewise. So if it's good for them, it's good for us. That's all right. This is good for us. Old time standards, just dressing right, just acting right. You know, if you got a bill, pay it. This happened 5-6 years ago. I'd never say who. I'll take it to my grave. My wife don't know. My children don't know. Nobody knows. I went to a place of business. And in discussion, it came up that I was a member of this church, assistant pastor of this church. And I got about 5 minutes of an earful. And he said nothing good about this church, nothing good about this ministry, because of one person that ripped him off, didn't pay a bill. Run the testimony. For the rest of his life, here's blessed hope. He thinks of that one member that won't pay the bill. You owe a bill, you ought to go back and pay it. I don't care if it's 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago. You go make it right and pay your bills. Pay your bills. So I don't have the money. Did you go out and eat this week? Did you go out to eat this week? Integrity. The world wants to see us live what we say we believe. Integrity. That's the old time religion. That's the old time religion. Pay your bills. Amen. Do right. Be honest. Be a good neighbor. Let me ask you a question. Are the people that live next to you, are they glad you're there? Or Wish you'd move. Honestly. They look over and say, man, I'm going to tell you what, we got the best neighbors. I'm glad. I hope they never move. I hope they're there for the rest of their life. Man, aren't we blessed? Do they every day say to themselves, oh my goodness sakes. I mean, do they take ads for other places and paste them on your front door? You know, tape them to your front door, hoping maybe you'll find a place. Are you listening to me? Folks, listen. Christianity can't just be right here in the church house. It needs to be out there every single day. Old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Old time that religion trait changes you 24/7. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Old time religion. What do you remember from that, Brother Jerry? I remember a congregation that was bent on fulfilling the Great Commission. I remember on knocking on doors. I remember starting a bus ministry. I remember buying thousands and tens of thousands. Can you imagine the hundreds of thousands of gospel tracts that we've bought over the years? And people in this church is distributed. I mean, you know, folks in this community, I'm talking about delivering pamphlets, delivering books, delivering the gospel to every single door. Let's not let off. Let's have an old-time church. Let's have an old-time church. I just want to make an announcement this morning in front of the Sunday morning crowd. If you were coming here in hopes that, you know what, now that Brother Jerry's here, you know what, maybe we'll start going a little more liberal. I just hate to burst your bubble. But it ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen on this watch. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. The same old things that we've stood for, we're going to stand for. We're going to do it right. We're going to do it according to God's word. We're going to keep the old ship pointed straight. Now, folks, listen to me. The pulpit's not going to change, and that's what I've got control of. But I'm going to tell you something. You've got control of the pew. You've got control of the pew. My heart's breaking over some of our teenagers. Brother Jerry, are they smoking, drinking, on drugs? I don't think so. Are they immoral? I don't think so. Then what's bothering you? They look down their nose at old-time religion. Down deep, they wish things had changed. They want to be more worldly. They want to dress more worldly. They want to act more worldly. They don't want to get excited about the things of God. They want to get excited about the latest whatever. I just look at them and I think, where's the spiritual heartbeat? Where's the stirring of God? Me and Brother Reiser's talked about it, but we're praying for a revival in our youth group. Our youth group needs a revival right now. I'm talking about a bunch of kids that I love. They need revival. There's a worldliness to them. There's a worldliness to them. Parents, let me tell you when it's going to happen. When it happens in the home first. They're just looking up at us. They're just looking up at us. Grandma and Grandpa, they're looking at you. What are they hearing? What are they seeing? Mom and Dad, they're looking at you. What are they hearing? What are they seeing? Is there an excitement about the things of God? Is there a positiveness about what's happening? Or is it all down and dreary and negative, griping and complaining, whining, criticizing the rules? I mean, what you know? I want to keep the pulpit straight, but you got to keep where you set right. You got to keep where you set right. We need old time religion. We need old time religion. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. I pray, God, that you speak to our hearts. Lord, I didn't use many notes this morning. I didn't really want to. I just wanted you to meet with us, God, and I wanted to say some things, and I wanted your Holy Spirit to lead me. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd help this church to continue to be stirred, Lord, that we'd head on down the old paths and protect the ancient landmarks. And, Lord, we pray, dear God, there may be that one this morning that's attending church, and the honest truth is they're not saved. They're just not saved. I pray that today would be the day they've received Jesus as their Savior. We thank you for this young man that's going to follow you in believer's baptism, Lord. We pray for Christians, Lord, all across this auditorium. Maybe they've allowed themselves to get cold. Maybe they've allowed themselves to get just a little complacent. Where's the excitement over the things of God? Where's the excitement over souls being saved? Why is everything so materialistic? Why have the things of this world and the world system got such a hold on? Lord, if we just break out of that and say, you know what, I'm going to go towards God. I'm going to let God renew my heart, revive my heart, The things of God are going to come more important to me than the things of this world. I want a touch from heaven. I pray, Lord, that you'd let that happen, and may it begin in this service this morning. In Jesus' name I pray.